Lord, please be with us this morning as we study your word. Please open our ears that we can hear the glory of your name in all that we say. Please help us to keep an open mind and an open heart and share lovingly with one another as we go forward today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are in the book of Romans. We're finishing up or rehashing the end of Romans 12, and we hope to get all the way through Romans 13 today, which is not too long. So I will have to stretch a little. But would someone please? I think I was supposed to start in 19, but I think it's important to maybe go back and let's start in Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. Would somebody like to read that for me? Anybody? Go ahead. Thank you.
Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, respectfully lay aside all men. If possible, so far as you can let me move to be at peace with all men. Never take your own redemption, Lord, but leave room for the wrath of God, who is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For so doing, he will be burning coals on his head. You should not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
How easy is that? Sometimes it's not too bad, but sometimes we let our emotions get the best of us, don't we? And it becomes a challenge. I guess the phrase in here that sticks out to me is the heaping burning coals. We see that other places in the Bible. Common is Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. So Proverbs 25, 21, 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So Paul's heard this before. I mean, this is coming out of Proverbs. This is, you know, standard fare. The burning heaping burning coals. That comes up again in Psalms, Psalms 140, and I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing because it's good stuff. But we'll focus in on this idea of heaping burning coals. So, Psalm 140, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot. They will be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord will remain the cause of the afflicted, and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Boy, how well does that fit in with what we see on the nightly news right now? mean, all the talk I hear when I read news is of violence, of the arrogant that are laying hidden traps for me, of the call to violence, the incitement of violence. We're warned, and that's part of what Paul's warning here, is what does evil feed on? It feeds on us not doing good to each other, not loving each other. So if you want to escalate the opposite of love, you feed it. If you want love to prevail, quit feeding evil. And that's what he's talking about, is how can you ever break the cycle of evil, of violence, of hate, with more hate? It will never work, because it feeds on itself, doesn't it? The term I hear in the news is blowback. Whether it's policy in the Middle East, of consequences of a lot of these feuds and hatreds go back thousands of years, of that cycle of violence has been perpetuated over time. And how do you break that cycle? Quit feeding it. Does that always end up well for you? No, there are many examples of martyrs. I forget their name. With missionary in India, and it was actually the husband and son were violently killed, and they went to the wife afterwards and asked her what she. I mean, is she leaving? Is she mad? She said, "No, you know, God called us here, so I'm going to stay. I don't hold any, you know, anger towards these people." And they asked the daughter, who was 13, what did she think? And she said that she was just glad that God thought that her father and her brother were good enough to die in his name. You know, that's tough. That's tough. If she was mad and angry and out seeking revenge and got her revenge, how does that break that cycle of violence? That's not what God's telling us to do. He's telling us, you know, you quit feeding this violence, it will die. Tough to do. Tough to do. How do we apply that in our own life? I, you know.
Well, when we talk about spiritual behavior, spiritual relationships, we kind of talk about the world today. And that's what we're talking about. And that's
what we're
talking about.
So, like my loving wife, you'd never believe it, but sometimes she snaps at me. And I snap back. That's exactly what Paul's talking about too. You know, like you say, our personal relationships, the little things, the people we love. There's nothing but... Yeah.
I'm not a revengeful person, I'm not always But I do have a problem with you guys, that's hard for me. I'm not sure that good at doing something even, I will have a hard time keeping them when they're hungry and slowly doing their eating and drinking their first meal. That's hard.
Who is your enemy? That you're not forced, you're against us. That's a slippery slope.
Yes, sir.
The loving your neighbor, are you doing it out of love for yourself or love for them?
No. Thomas?
What is the greater persecution and visible areas of peace where sometimes much more easily see? For example, this time you were possibly going to be a Jew who was going down to be converted and had his legs long hands out for your use to satisfy him. And you, who you might be sharing the table with, are both voters of the converted, which that was never the case for your name. So, when it comes to these things, I think the text says you cannot have any true anything for per se, knowing that the spirit is going to come to us or going to steal our house along in that Noah. But, so bringing out the three times for both of me, it comes into the house of man that there is a life, not an enemy, but there are other people in the life that you are hiring. Other people that, one of the last times I talked about the fact that I was just talking, someone had come into Walmart and they gave you a nice little word. What do you think? You know, I mean, enemies is a horrible word for the rest because the rest of us have not to have true enemies anymore. That's still a critical one to say relating to the everyday life when you walk about. Are you making an effort to, verse 17, do what is honorable and set at all, not just your church family, not the people that you physically don't interact with, but inside of everyone.
Yes, sir.
Well, we do have to do it. Thank you, Barbara. Not versus an expert, maybe all of us, but everyone is not. And if you remember who it is that we are the against, the person that did that to us is God's power, and God removes people of God.
And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. need to be very careful how you choose who your enemies are. Because if you start thinking about the person that bumped into you or cut you off or said something as your enemy, they will be your enemy, and that's not what we're taught to do. We're taught to love our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Everybody.
That's what I think it is. Something, you know, there's a group of people doing that, you know. Well, check your own reaction. Are you saying, wow, we can just disappear, not be around anymore, and that should just shut down, you know, or whatever. That's hate, you know, and so are you saying, okay, that's difficult to me and my beliefs and all of that, and, you know, I'm going to get it out for whatever needs to happen. This is our version.
And we're going to go back there later. Let's jump into chapter 13 here. I'll just start. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. As good Christian folk, which I'm making the assumption we all are, to sit back and watch our current presidential election and say, come what may, I'm going to submit. And I don't care who wins that election, submitting to either of the many choices that are out there. Is that what chapter 13 is talking about here? What Thomas said, I can argue that point very aggressively, because I'm going to confess, I'm not a big government kind of guy. That's just not where I'm coming from. But the counterpoint to what you said is all government, by definition, is only capable through the participation of the people. If everyone in the Roman Empire said, I don't think so, what's going to happen? I mean, it can only persist through the choice of man. So every government, always, started out in kings. The people said, we want a king. And God said, you aren't going to like that. That's not going to turn out well. But if that's what you want, here you go. Every government throughout history is the same. It is only possible through the consent of the people. Does that mean we should consent? Let me read on. Okay. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Okay. What's the supreme law of the land here in the United States? And I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about worldly... the Constitution. Okay. So, that is the authority in the United States, right? So, any power that is not in subjugation to the Constitution is outside. The Constitution, what does the Constitution do? Does it define what we the people can do? No, not at all. It defines the limitations on government. It puts government in a box. That's the way I read these passages too. Is we should subject ourselves to authority. But it puts a very strict definition on what authority is. And what authority should do. Authority. The rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. God's servant for your good. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So, Paul is putting a very strict definition on what authority is here. Authority that is in opposition to God's law or what is good, is that true authority? I just can't get to where you're at yet.
Again, the goal is not to be submissive to government. The goal is to show life that people see God through you. And people see God through the brain, and they see God through the mind, through whatever kind of desire they do.
To rebel is always a slippery slope. How can you rebel against, let's say, the Roman government? How can you rebel against them violently in opposition and not fall crosswise of what we read in 12?
Okay.
And they lost the consent of the governed.
Yes, Dave.
What would happen if God always gave us a good God to be here? The answer to that would be, as Christians, would become complacent. Legislation. I think he allows rulers and Supreme Courts that are less than ideal or less than godly to become in power to stir us up and to get our attention. I just want to say that God is wiser than I am. I don't see how a Supreme Court decision is a good thing. But perhaps God has something deeper in mind for his people in facing the challenges that are presented to us.
The Roman government told Paul to quit preaching. Did he submit?
He did not.
Now, there is a difference between rebellion and resistance. Now, resistance done through love, as opposed to rebellion through violence or revenge, which we just talked about.
We're very experiential people, and we learn our best. She the core learning stays with us the longest through experience. So maybe I'm in time to see the core or whatever, and then be able to see it up and have a better experience of it to carry on as long as we could and then, turn it around. Maybe that's what we needed.
Yeah.
For because of this. Trudge back through what you read, which is good. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. If you make a legal obligation as a resident of the United States, I enjoy all the services rendered by that government. Roads, bridges, military protection, all that stuff. I owe taxes to pay for these services. To as I would like to say, they're spending money I don't want to spend money on, I should rebel. What Paul's saying here is, you know, if you owe taxes for services rendered, yeah, you should be paying those. Let's move on here. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything. I saw commentaries both ways on this. You should never borrow money because Bible says so. Well, it comes back to that contractual obligation. A loan is just a business deal. Back in Deuteronomy, you know, it sets up, you know, if you're loaning money to another Israelite, you shouldn't charge interest. But if you're loaning to somebody else, you can charge interest. And there are many examples throughout the Bible that the loaning of money or borrowing of money isn't a sin. Now, the it also says how the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. So there are consequences. The loan in itself is not a sin. What becomes a sin is when you owe someone. So if you make a deal to borrow money and pay it back on this time scale, if you don't pay it back, you owe them. You are then truly in debt. And that's where the sin comes in, is to not fulfill your obligations to others. So I don't read that particular line as saying. And that's one of the big controversies I saw when I was researching this, is, well, can you have loans or not? I don't think that's what this is talking about. This is talking about if you have obligations to someone, if you owe someone obligations, you should fulfill those obligations. The other half of that is a debt to one another, to love one another. Can we fulfill that debt? Can we love can we love everybody else enough that we've fulfilled that debt?
Yeah.
Can we do it enough, though? Can we get to a point where we say, yep, I'm good. I'm loving everybody enough. I don't think...
When you have to grow that level.
Where are you getting, what's getting you between relationships? And this is one example. Love, your obligation is to accept. And if something's happening, the reason is good, something has to change.
And under the old law, every 7 years that was a requirement. And probably for that reason. You know? Because, yeah, that can eat at you. Eat at your relationship. Yes, sir.
And the feedback, I appreciate you very much. What you said in that is basically a matter of the law, not only old testament, a lot of the laws have to do other things. I have to check it off. Have a match with that. That's good. That's not the point of the law. My other question, my first John preaches about the how people in our lives are too often in our lives because of this love. That our loss implies a debt, a moral obligation that we have to do with that. I don't think the point of that is to be able to check off. The point is that it's a continual debt that we owe to our debt. The kind of same thing that we owe Jesus, he paid the debt, but we owe the debt in the event of laying in our lives that they take care of us. And I felt that they followed it. It's not a check off. And I said it's continual. This is part of the whole process of what walking in the life toward Jesus is.
We only need to love him as much as he loves us, right? And then love each other that much, too. Only, yeah. It's easy, right? So let's keep reading. And that's where Thomas was. Is for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The time has come. Put on the armor of light. So when I read that, when I hear armor, I think defensive. Now, we could talk to Thomas. He's the expert, you know. You have the sword, the offensive weapon. The armor is the defensive. If we put on the light, Christ, if we put on light to defend ourselves from all these things we've been talking about today, the traps, the snares that are laid, that we put on Jesus to defend us from those. And our faith in him is that defense. This idea of armor. Let's go to Ephesians 6:17. Okay, I'm going to jump back just a verse or two here. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Tell you what, I like this so much. I'm just going to start at the beginning of that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Okay, I'm in Ephesians 6:10. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the enemies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual fortresses of evil in the heavenly places. This is Paul. He says we're wrestling with authorities. That's not submitting. When the authorities are in alignment with the cosmic powers over this present darkness, We are to resist. We are to wrestle. And it's not against those people. Watching things like presidential debates and news conferences, there is more anger that these people are evil, both sides. The other person is evil because of what they think. What Paul's saying here is it's not that person that we should fight. It is their idea. It is this cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil. That's what we need to be fighting against. Both sides. Exactly. And the whole armor. Let's keep going. This is good stuff. Wrestling. Okay, struggling, resisting, not rebelling, resisting. And does that mean?
When you have the armor of love on, that's a very
In conflict through love, not in agreement, not in support.
That woman is not fighting, resisting, doing anything,
and was resisting those forces. Absolutely. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. There's a lot in there on how we're supposed to wrestle, how we're supposed to fight. It's not it's through love. Standing fast. Withdrawing consent. And that's maybe how we should look at some of these political issues. As we withdraw consent, like your example of the Romans, they withdrew consent and the evil stopped. I'm sorry, flip back here. The armor of light. We talked about the sword. What was the sword? Word of God. And what was Paul praying for there? For the words to be given to me to speak it boldly. So that's what we're to do. How do we wrestle? Speak the word of God. Act. like we're told to. Love. When we are in a relationship that we feel we're wronged, push back with love. Clobber them over the head with love. Keep burning coals on their head till they just can't stand it anymore. And there are lots of examples through history of, like during the Armenian genocide, where the Christians were slaughtered in Turkey. There was a girl and her brother which were chased down by a Turkish soldier, and the brother was brutally murdered by this soldier, but he let the girl go. And then later, she was working in a hospital, and that same soldier came in and was wounded. And if she hadn't cared for him, he would have died. After he healed up, he asked her, Why did you do that? Why didn't you just let me die? And she said it was because of her faith. You know, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. That was her faith. That was her love. That was her wrestling. And he said, oh, I need that. I want that. You know, it overcame. So that love, that resistance, that not taking revenge is significantly more powerful. So I think we're going to ring the bell. We'll quit early and have just a little more time for fellowship. So, thank you much.